Hello and welcome to the Revisiting Old Favourites podcast in the Inner Sanctum. Thanks for joining me. And what on earth are we going to do this week? The last 56 weeks we've been on the path to Rome with Hilaire Belloc. I thoroughly enjoyed it, but it was, if you like, a grueling, almost interminable pilgrimage. So anyway, what I thought I would do is something somewhat similar, but much, much shorter. I'm not asking you to embark upon another year-long adventure. What I'm going to do now, we've followed Belloc from Toul in France, through Switzerland and down through Italy to Rome. I want to actually read over the next few weeks. It won't be many weeks, I don't think. Merry England, A Journey Through the Shire, which is actually a book that I wrote shortly after I came to the United States. It's published by Tan Books. And what this is a journey around England on foot, beginning in East Anglia and ending in East Anglia. It's a little circular journey around England that I wrote just after I moved to the States, within the first year or two of moving to the States. And there's a sense of this of exile about it, because I know I'd left my homeland, the Shire, and was reminiscing about some wonderful parts of my homeland, the countryside that I'd walked through, hiked through over the years. A very keen walker when I was in England, very much like Belloc. I had that much in common with Belloc. So that was the spirit in which this was written. You will note there's an element of the Bellocian in the style. But probably more there, it's very Chestertonian. So this is sort of like a walk through the Shire, as in England, Merry England, in the company of me, because I wrote it, but also in the company, at least, of the ghosts of both G.K. Chesterton and Hilaire Belloc. And I hope that in itself is a good enough reason for you to want to accompany me on this trip through Merry England, A Journey Through the Shire. So let's begin. I'm thinking, by the way, that the chapters are so short here, probably we're going to get through on average two per week, and there aren't that many. There's, I'll tell you, there are 20, so I'm guessing this will be about 10 weeks, not 56 weeks. So I'm going to begin, and so I'll begin right from the beginning. Merry, with the title page, Merry England, A Journey Through the Shire, by Joseph Pearce, Tan Books, 2016. For the ghosts of England's past who accompanied me on the journey. And then it's a poem to begin by William Wordsworth. They called thee Merry England in old time. A happy people won for thee that name, with envy heard in many a distant clime. And, spite of change, for me thou keep'st the same endearing title, a respective chime to the heart's fond belief, though some there are whose sterner judgments deem that word a snare for inattentive fancy, like the lime which foolish birds are caught with. Can I ask this face of rural beauty be a mask for discontent and poverty and crime? These spreading towns a cloak for lawless will? Forbid it, heaven, and Merry England still shall be thy rightful name in prose and rhyme. William Wordsworth. And then the preface. The journey on which you are about to accompany me is a voyage into the mysterious presence of an England that is more real than the one that you are probably accustomed to seeing. It is not the England that presents itself to the unenchanted eye, the England that seems to be in terminal decline, its death throes made manifest in the all too obvious signs of decay and ultimate disintegration. It is, in stark contrast to this mutable England, an enchanted and unchanging place, full of ghosts who are as alive as the saints It is an England that is rural, sacramental, liturgical, local, beautiful. An England that is charged with the grandeur of God. This England, partaking of the divine essence from which it receives its being, shines forth the mysterious paradox that a thing both is and was at the same time. We can take almost any example to illustrate this paradoxical mystery. But let's take the case of Shakespeare. Like the England that gave him birth, Shakespeare both is and was. He was a great playwright and poet, but it is also true to say that he is a great playwright and poet. Shakespeare is a fact. He lived and did things. In this sense, he not only was, but is. You cannot look at the history of England or of great literature without looking at Shakespeare. He is staring you in the face because his presence is real and his presence is present. He is as well as was. In order to understand this more fully, we need to understand the relationship of time to eternity. With our finite perception, we can perceive only the past. Even the present, by the time that we perceive it, has become the immediate past. The future, on the other hand, can only be a figment of our imagination. It is what might happen. The nearer the future is to us, the more predictable it might be. I might intend to go to a cafe for a coffee this morning, and in all probability I shall do so. The further the future is from us, the less predictable it becomes. I can't even be sure of the place in which I'll be living 5 years from now. Indeed, I can't even be sure that I'll be living. For God, however, there is no past and there is no future. For God, everything is present. This is the deeper meaning of divine omnipresence. Not that God is present everywhere, though he is, but that everything is present to God. For God, therefore, we cannot say that Shakespeare was, but only that he is. Where is all this leading? Well, in the case of England, we must insist that England is eternally greater than those who happen to be wandering around today on the geographical stage on which the drama of England is being performed. Most people walking around on the stage today have no idea what England is or who they themselves are. Thankfully, however, England is not dependent on them. Like the souls in C.S. Lewis's The Great Divorce, they are pathetic shadows of who they are meant to be. They are relatively insubstantial. They are certainly less real as Englishmen than Alfred the Great, Bede the Venerable, St. Edward the Confessor, Chaucer, St. Thomas More, the hundreds of English martyrs, Shakespeare, Austen, Newman, or Tolkien. All of these people are England. Please note, they are England. Seeing the true England through the perspective of the triune splendour of the good, the true, and the beautiful, we know that such an England can never die. Not because it lingers like a fading coal in the memory of mortal men, but because it exists as a beautiful flower in the gardens of eternity. This is the England to which, under God, I owe my allegiance. Deo gratias. And this is the England through which I wander in the following pages, and to which you are invited to join me. And then a note on lost time. What follows was written at the turn of the present millennium. Any apparent anomalies with regard to dates are explained by the time lost between its being written and its being read. Okay, chapter one is on Norwich Cathedral, but as we're already close to 11 minutes into the podcast, we'll begin the actual journey through the Shire, through Merry England, next week on the Revisiting Old Favourites podcast. Thanks so much for joining me. Please do join me next week as we continue our journey through the Shire. Until then, goodbye and God bless.